When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Items and props that carry more meaning than you initially thought. Throwaway lines that become more impressive by the watch. And insanely talented directors putting their stamp on a feature in the most unique of ways. Are just a few examples of rather compelling movie facts you need to know. I'm Gareth from WhatCulture.com, and here are 10 more unnecessary movie details you need to know. Number 10, Margot Robbie actually wore some of Sharon Tate's jewelry. Once upon a time in Hollywood. For many actors, the key to fully connecting to or even completely immersing themselves in the world of another human being can be found in that person's style of clothing. In the case of Margot Robbie, when it came time for her to step into the shoes of real-life late movie star Sharon Tate, in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, said movie gateway into the world of the star of Valley of the Dolls came in the form of some rather legit items. Robbie was loaned some of Tate's genuine own jewelry by none other than the actor's sister herself, Deborah Tate. Better yet, Robbie was able to wear the likes of Sharon's own hoop earrings in the feature itself, adding a bit more authenticity to the Wolf of Wall Street's memorable, if not largely underutilized, turn in the tribute to the golden age of Hollywood. Number 9, Wall-E makes the same noise as a Mac when booting up. Wall-E. While generally known as one of the major brains behind the absolute modern technology titan that is Apple, it may come as a surprise to some to learn that Steve Jobs was actually a co-founder of a little animation studio by the name of Pixar. Fancy that? That brings us nicely to an easily missed piece of gold that was snuck into the heartwarming delight that is 2008's post-apocalyptic love story, Wall-E. When the titular metal box garbage bot's charge is complete, those who have spent many a day having to load up their Mac computers will likely have spotted something eerily familiar in said process. As it goes, Pixar opted to use the exact same F-sharp chord sound that invades Macintosh users' eardrums upon each reboot when Wall-E was finishing up his charging process, as something of a tribute to Jobs and his company. What a lovely touch! Number 8, Bishop's accurate assessment of time remaining, Aliens. In the thick of an action-packed, edge-of-your-seat thrill ride like James Cameron's gripping sequel to Ridley Scott's initial Xenomorph outing, it's fairly understandable for a few pieces of information to slip through the cracks upon a first watch. Hell, in the case of this next little-known gem, even die-hard fans of Aliens will have likely overlooked this throwaway piece of trivia. As Ripley probes Android Bishop on exactly how much time they have left until the station explodes, the bot responds by telling Sigourney Weaver's iconic alien killer, "Plenty, 26 minutes." Though at first this appears to be nothing more than a simple narrative checkpoint, 26 minutes is actually the exact amount of time remaining in the special edition feature until the screen fades to black and the credits begin to roll. If you don't believe me, next time you're sitting down to enjoy the sight of Ripley and the gang blasting their way through hordes of xenomorphs, set your stopwatch to 26 minutes in the wake of this line and marvel at this gloriously useless fact unfolding before your very eyes. You're welcome. Number 7, Gus Van Sant painted the watercolor painting, Good Will Hunting. The sheer amount of talent on show throughout the feature that put both Matt Damon and Ben Affleck on the map is quite frightening when you think about it. On top of the two Hollywood newbies crafting a magnificent Oscar-winning screenplay, Robin Williams was also able to produce arguably his finest ever performance as Dr. Sean Maguire. However, this wasn't the only example of the folks involved in the flick spreading their wings and lacing some jaw-dropping work into Good Will Hunting. In fact, one of arguably the most beautiful pieces of art on show in the 1997 hit came in the form of something actually produced by none other than the film's director, Gus Van Sant. Instead of a immortalizing himself with a traditional acting cameo, though. Van Sant's presence can be felt on screen in the watercolor painting, which proves to be the catalyst for a rather explosive first impression shared between Maguire and Matt Damon's Will Hunting. The director actually painted said painting himself, proving that he not only has a good eye for movie making, but also a decent one for paint-by-number-esque watercolor too. Number 6. James Gunn loves killing off his family members on set. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. With half of Hollywood seemingly queuing up to star in whatever the hell James Gunn decides to try his hand at next, it's no surprise to hear that the outstanding director's family have been keen to get in on the action when the opportunity presents itself too. Yet instead of giving his various loved ones a harmless cameo that sees them share the screen with a beloved hero, or even unintentionally save the day, Gunn seems to always find himself dispatching the ones he cares about the most. As he noted when referencing a movie details post highlighting the presence of his parents in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, as Weird Old Man and Weird Old Man's Mistress, the director revealed that he managed to kill off his brother and his wife, their three kids, his niece, and brother-in-law during Ego's expansion. And his niece, Grace, was the pink alien who first met Ego in the flick. What a claim to fame, eh?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Number 5. Electrix is a reused model of the original villain, The Incredibles 2. The superhero universe carved out by Pixar has played host to its fair share of memorable villains in both of Brad Bird's outstanding The Incredibles entries. Between wannabe psychics morphing into an eventual maniacal arch-nemesis, to seemingly loyal tech geniuses who almost single-handedly wipe supers from the planet, it's hard to spot a single miss in the studio's evil rankings. Yet if you look hard enough, you may actually be able to spot one failed idea hiding in plain sight in the second outing for the Pars and their pals. He Electrix, a hero who is capable of manipulating slash generating electricity, was actually created using an animated model which would have originally belonged to Winston Dever's brother, Nelson Dever, or N. Dever, get it? This character would have been responsible for creating the screen slaver persona seen in the film, instead of the personality that would later become Evelyn, or Evil Endeavor. I'm gonna stop. However, after coming to the conclusion that a female villain would be more interesting, Pixar opted to switch the models that had been used for the then Electrix and Nelson, giving us the Evelyn and Helectrix we wound up with in the finished product instead. Number 4. Django's presence is felt throughout The Hateful Eight. Everyone is likely aware of Quentin Tarantino's penchant for finding interesting and subtle ways to connect each and every one of his vibrant features together by now. From the likes of Red Apple cigarettes and Big Kahuna Burger springing up in many a Tarantino-verse flick, to characters across different entries often being related, there's always more than meets the eye with this legendary director's work. But even with this fetish for Easter eggs and connective tissue in mind, many Tarantino followers have still often overlooked a few notable nods to one Django Freeman in the colossal theater-esque The Hateful Eight. The first hint at Django's presence in this world is felt early on, with the introduction of Major Marcus Warren, as the bounty hunter is found perched on a mound of corpses. It's here where eagle-eyed fans were able to spot the saddle of the freed slave turned Candyland incinerator atop the frozen bodies. Elsewhere, Django's green corduroy jacket is also visible on the floor of Millie's haberdashery later on, reinforcing the report that Tarantino was considering a full-on Django appearance in the flick at one stage. Ultimately, said heroic arrival was scrapped, but Django's presence was still very much felt. And never forget, the D is silent. Number 3. Why always Kelvin, JJ? Super 8, Star Trek, and Mission Impossible 3. As we've already noted on this list, if the right situation presents itself, it's not entirely unusual for a director to find a way to shoehorn a family member into a project. However, instead of throwing a loved one in front of a camera to be devoured by a planet-munching blob a la James Gunn, J.J. Abrams decided to head down a different route when paying homage to his grandfather. Proving to be the spark that led to his obsession with film and the technology behind movie making, it was Abrams' maternal grandfather, Harry Kelvin, who first gifted the young future Star Wars/Trek director with a Super 8 camera. So, as a tribute, Abrams has chosen to lace his grandfather's last name into a number of his projects. With Super 8 in mind, that Abrams feature sees a gas station named after his grandpops. Star Trek houses its own Kelvin spaceship, and Mission Impossible 3 sees H. Kelvin written as the name on a postcard seen in the flick. It may not mean much to the average film fan, but there's no denying it's a consistently sweet touch from the top-class filmmaker. Number 2. Rick Baker was responsible for the Riddler's makeup. Batman Forever. When the legendary name of Rick Baker enters a movie-centric conversation, you're more than likely going to shine a light on the brilliant work the Hollywood makeup master put into crafting the effects for the likes of American Werewolf in London, Michael Jackson's iconic Thriller music video, or even the more recent Disney entry Maleficent. In short, the outstanding makeup man is known mostly for his ability to transform mere mortals into otherworldly creatures. So that's what made his decision to step in and put his stamp on some of DC's most well-known faces a bit of an unexpected and little-known career move. But stamp he did when it came to Joel Schumacher's divisive 1995 Batflick, replacing Batman Returns' Stan Wilson in the makeup chair. Therefore, you'll spot Baker's fingerprints all over things like the Riddler's disfigured prosthetic mug and Two-Face's unmistakable split face. Baker did actually request to have both the latter villain's iconic bulging eye and exposed teeth appear in the flick, but that compelling request was quickly shot down by those in charge. What a shame! When you bring in the Baker, surely you let him go full Baker, right? Number 1. Sam Raimi's dig at Tobey Maguire's back problems, Spider-Man 2. For those not in the know, it wasn't exactly plain sailing for director Sam Raimi and Sony Pictures when it pertains to Spider-Man star Tobey Maguire heading into his second web-slinging outing. The story goes that Maguire was dealing with a bout of back pain in the wake of taking part in a number of physically demanding projects. This was said to actually be an attempt to squeeze more money out of the studio, but said bluff was ultimately called by Sony when they attempted to bring in Jake Gyllenhaal to replace the injured leading man. After Maguire backtracked and proved his fitness, Raimi and his brother, Ivan, quickly saw the chance to poke fun at this behind-the-scenes drama in the sequel itself. As Parker seemingly rediscovers his spidey senses, the flailing superhero takes a hell of a tumble on the back of screaming out, "I'm back!" This fall onto the cars below soon gives way to the squirm of, "My back!" A not-so-subtle tip of the cap to Maguire's back troubles for those clued up, but still a pretty damn funny utterance for the majority of watchers who were left in the dark.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.